Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to our second edition of Vitter Radio. For this show, we will be interviewing Fall on Your Sword. Fall on Your Sword is the music video artist behind the popular Shatner on the Mount video, as it is, you know, originally called. But most of you will be familiar with the line uttered by the aforementioned Shatner. Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? This video, in my short research, seems to be popular at cons, and it also has been featured on several, technology blogs and sci-fi blogs. It was also shown on the cable technology show Attack of the Show. We will begin our show with the audio of that video, after which we will begin our interview with Fall on Your Sword. So here is the Shatner on the Mount audio. Enjoy, and we'll be back with Fall on Your Sword.
Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? To hug the mountain. To envelop that mountain. Hug the mountain. To envelop that mountain. Hug the mountain. That mountain. That mountain. He wants to make love to the mountain. Tough young guys, sinewy bodies, and their fingers and bikini toes challenge the rock, challenging death. Why do I climb the mountain? Because I'm in love. There is a passionate affair going on between Kirk and the mountain. Kirk is on the mountain. In order to create that illusion, sucking some of the most sensational men who not only climb, are voracious, fleeting, and elusive, and peripheral. And that's putting me on the mountain. Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Hold it, please. Hug the mountain. Envelop that mountain. Hug the mountain. To envelop that mountain. Hug the mountain. That mountain. That mountain. He wants to make love to the mountain. And the climb is going where no man has gone before. Where no man has gone before. Challenge the rock, challenging death. Why do I climb the mountain? Because I'm in love.
Yeah, so that was Shatner on the Mount, and we have Fall on Your Sword with us.
Hey there, how's it going?
Hello. So that was great. You know, before I played this, after playing it just now and listening to it, I really got the impact of the audio of and of the lines. And I was sort of, I think, relieved that I rated the show mature, because it almost sounded like the how should I say? I guess very mature.
Like
the relationship with the mountain is a little intense there.
Yeah, there's definitely some undercurrents going on, I think. Some undercurrent meaning.
So that's one of the things that was immediately there for me was just to ask you, did you know that it was going to be as popular as it was?
I really didn't, no. It was kind of, you know, obviously it was just done out of... as a gag, really. I mean, it was a real surprise. It happened, I guess, about a month ago that I started getting lots of emails about, you know, comments on my YouTube page, and it was kind of like, whoa, what's going on? Why is this kind of blowing up? Basically, whenever I do videos, it's really done with the live show in mind, you know, like everything kind of starts with the music, and it was really just it was a sort of side note almost to you know, do a video and put it up on YouTube like that. So it was kind of a nice surprise.
I see. So this originally started out as being music, and then I guess it's sort of tied to the video, because the source for at least the lyrics was from a video.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was with a couple of the things that I've done, it the idea started from finding a bit of footage that seems like kind of a gold mine, you know?
Right.
So it definitely, when I did it, it was kind of like I was doing it obviously looking at the clips and like taking out bits that I thought were going to work in a song. But one of the reasons why I think it works so well is actually that I was listening to him talk, and Shatner has that way of speaking that's so Shatner-like, you know, he has a certain rhythm. And one thing that really jumped out to me initially was that he just talks at this perfect rhythm all the way through. And it's actually, it's 127 beats per minute. It's like the perfect tempo to put in a track like that. Also, it happens to be like my favorite tempo to write that kind of music for. So when I was editing it was really easy just to kind of write a track for him and like put him in there, and it was just like perfect. I didn't really need to do that much editing in a way. That's kind of why I think it works so well. It's just got this kind of ease about it, you know?
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier that you were preparing this for like a live show. So I guess you'd fall into the genre of like music video artist, like your music is not just with a band and on stage, but also video that's shown on a wall.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. There's three of us in the band. There's a drummer and a guitarist and then me, and I'm basically behind a big rig. I have this sort of aversion to having laptops on stage, which kind of presents its own series of problems, but we use a lot of 90s technology to run all the audio. It's like kind of old sequences and samplers and analog synths and stuff. And then obviously like that is connected to a laptop that's off the stage that's triggering the video. But it basically means that all the video is being kind of played live, if you see what I mean. Like people who see us for the first couple of times think that we're just like incredibly rehearsed to the video, but in fact we're triggering the video with the audio.
Oh,
from stage, and it allows us to be kind of very free when we're performing, and it's like a lot of it is quite improvised, and you know, Shatner of the Mount is one of about, I guess, 15 or so tracks that we do live that have their own video, and they're all, you know, definitely in the same ballpark. Not all of them have been put up on YouTube yet, but you know, I'm on the case.
Okay, great. When I originally thought of interviewing you, I started to think, okay, like the work you're doing is with video, and it's mixing the dialogue from your original source material to create like a rhythm and a beat.
Mm-hmm.
That like I've known other artists who do similar types of things, and you know, in some cases it's by accident, like that whole Christian Bale bailout video.
Yeah, right.
You know, there is some electronic music there in the background, and then there's the dialogue, of course. And then there was an artist that I discovered called Pogo, who does that with a lot of and a very intricate work of using actual instrumentation in the background of soundtracks and mixing it to create new tunes, and also repeating dialogue quite a bit.
Cool. Pogo, I should check him out.
Yeah, and one of the things that like it came to mind was like thinking that the video, that the audio aspect is tailor-made to someone who likes electronic music. because I didn't really notice that much of a band feel to that music or to and you know other types of mixes where dialogue or original footage is mixed. And how do you feel about that? Like, because I know you have a live show, so there's a different quality to the music that would be played live as opposed to what we're actually hearing on YouTube.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, it's kind of easier for me to churn them out without using the live drummer and whatnot, but that's definitely something that I want to kind of look to do in the future, because there is a little bit of a difference between seeing it live and seeing the YouTube stuff. You know, we have like a raging indie rock guitarist and a live drummer, and I'm playing a lot of synths live and stuff. So yeah, it definitely is different, and I, you know, it's more down to kind of like time and getting my guys into the studio to come in and record everything. But I think in the future, when we look to make an album, which I think is going to be on the cards pretty soon, that would be the goal, because a lot of people say, you know, like, we'd really like to hear the way that you perform it live, recorded.
That's right.
Kind of something that we haven't really got to do yet. I feel like maybe on the MySpace page, maybe there's one song called Rocket Cycle, which is kind of how this whole thing began. Like I used a lot of Flash Gordon was sort of my first muse, I guess. And there were a lot of songs that were based on the Queen soundtrack to Flash Gordon and like samples from the movie and stuff.
Yes.
And that was I probably started this whole thing about a couple of years ago, and that was the first sort of batch of material. And we actually put an EP out that's on iTunes back then. And that's, I think if you listen to that, you'd probably get a better sense of what I mean. Like it's there's only like 5 tunes up there, but those ones are definitely more live. And actually, it's kind of interesting, the concept of that EP, I wanted each song to open with a death scene from a famous science fiction movie read by like a incongruous voice. So I had my friend Rob Bronco, who's from the band The Wild Yaks in Brooklyn, he spoke the death scene of Rutger Hauer in Blade Runner, but like said it as if he was giving a sort of political speech kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then there's another one with a friend of mine from England is doing the death scene of Vader, and then, you know, that kind of thing. The death of Hal is in there, being spoken by someone else. So that was kind of another concept record, I guess.
Yeah, and now that brings up something for me. In terms of collaboration, like, your fall on the sword, and then, but there's also collaborators as far as other musicians who come in. Like, how is the creative process in terms of developing this? Is it like you start out as sort of being like a composer, and then you bring them in to flesh out what's already been created, or are they like creating this along with you?
I'd say it's really varied. I mean, first of all, I kind of consider Fall on Your Sword really to be a band. It's more of a collective of the three of us. I mean, I'm definitely the one that's responsible for all the videos and all that kind of stuff. But as far as like song ideas and whatnot, you know, it's like any band. Like anyone who wants to bring something to the table, if it's a good idea, will develop it. So there are other songs. Again, you know, it's kind of unfortunate. There's songs that we just really perform live, but there's one that the guitarist is like, it's his baby, and we, you know, developed it together. And then there's other ones that the drummer's been more involved in, and that's kind of how it works, really. I mean, I'd say that most of the stuff that's on YouTube is pretty much it's collaborative when we perform it live. But you know, I kind of conjured up most of those ideas. But then, you know, it's a shared burden, if you will, like any band.
Okay, so that's great. So, how did you come up with the idea of even using YouTube? Is like, was this inspired from maybe seeing other artists, or I know in some part you said you were surprised of the success, but did you have some like inkling? Well, you know, it might be good to put this up on YouTube with the video.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just been there's obviously no way that I can sell this stuff, you know, because it's all a lot of it is copyrighted material. So just to have it be in a place where people can go and see it and allow it to, you know, get the word of the band out and just share the joke, really. I mean, that's kind of the goal. I guess, you know, I look at people like The Lonely Island and sort of saw how massive their videos had got and kind of, you know, it's definitely, it gives an inkling of an idea of like, you know, hey, this could be a really free, cheap way of getting people to see your work, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was, of course it was a surprise, but it's, you know, a really good one.
Great. I'm going to also mention to people who are listening to the show that they can call in at a certain point. We'll be able to take calls from people who are listening. The number to call in is 646-595-4533. Again, that's 646-595-4533. This, I believe, is a New York area number, so if you're not calling from New York, please be aware of long-distance charges, unless, of course, you've got, like, one of those long-distance unlimited plans. Also, to mention that Fall on Your Sword will be performing tonight, I believe, in Williamsburg at the Public Assembly. And that show, I believe, will be starting at 7. Is that right?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of bands that are going on before us, some of whom are actually have done a remix or two for us, a band called Charlie and Ryu and Moggles Attacks, they're called, I think. And they're going on at like 6:45, I think. We're probably going to go on around 8:45. It's an early gig, but it's going to be a really good one. And actually, we have a couple of we have a guest who's coming in. There's a guy called Phil Mossman who's from a band called LCD Sound System. He's going to be performing three songs with us. So that'll be exciting.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So one of the questions that immediately came to mind was your name. When I first heard it, it reminded me of the way Judas killed himself, because I think there was something about he put some jagged sticks in the ground and he basically fell on it and let his guts spill out or something like
Blimey.
That.
Didn't know that.
Huh?
I didn't know that. That's amazing.
But then when the word sword is in there, it made me think more of a Roman, had more of a Roman sound to it. Because it's an actual sword instead of just some sticks you fall on. But like, how did you come up with that name?
It actually came from it's from a scene in Flash Gordon. Where, are you familiar with that movie, the 80s movie?
You know, I'm familiar with it. Like, I'd probably have to have some kind of like inner child past life regression, because
right,
I remember
exactly.
Art, really,
yeah, I kind of grew up with it, and it was I think I saw it again about 5 or 6 years ago, and was just like blown away by its madness. It's a really crazy movie, but there's a scene in it where Ming is like, it's kind of near the beginning, and he's sort of trying to test someone's loyalty, and he just says, "Fall on your sword, throw yourself on your sword," and it just really stuck out to me, and it stayed in my mind for a while. So it seemed like a good title, and then I was talking to other people about it, and I spoke to this guy who's in the Navy, and apparently it's kind of a Navy term to accept the blame for something is to fall on your sword.
I also seem to remember a scene in Serenity, the Firefly movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's an evil character who sets up sort of like a sword, basically hypnotizes a person, and because they can't move, their weight falls onto a sword, and they wind up basically offing themselves. So how long did the video take in terms of editing? It sounded like it was pretty simple
Yeah, it was super fast. I think I did it in one evening. And the song was really, I guess the song came first. I was really doing that. That took one evening. And then, yeah, pretty much the next day, it was like I was so eager to throw the visuals up against it. And just it just happened pretty organically, pretty fast. Especially with that one. I mean, some of the other ones are more complicated and have, like, other you know, other clips involved, like Back to the Ship or Powerless Man. There's like tons of other stuff. So there's a lot of like wading through material. But as far as like Shatner of the Mount, I always wanted it to be very simple and just be about, you know, him sitting on the side of this mountain. So it was pretty smart.
Did you in any way edit the dialogue where you mixed words and created new sentences?
I did a little bit. Sucking some of the most sensational men. That line is that's obviously been tricked out a little bit. There's about two or three sentences that he doesn't really say. It's just like me throwing it out of context.
I thought so. That was so cool because I could start after watching it for a while. I started to say, wait a minute, would William Shatner actually say that in an interview?
Right, exactly. But he says it. It's kind of. That's sort of what I mean about this whole, like, 127 BPM thing. Like, he just sort of, he's almost like talking on a grid, if you know what I mean. So it was quite easy to move words around and still have his rhythm, you know, his sense of it feeling like it's natural.
Now, do you know if he saw it or if anyone from the actual show saw it?
I don't know. I'm not sure if he has yet, but I do. Someone from DragonCon contacted me about showing it there, and I gather that was a few days ago, and I think that there was talk of him being there for that. So
okay.
Hopefully by now he would have done. I mean, that would be amazing to see what his reaction would be to it. He strikes me as someone that can take a joke, you know? Like, he seems to have built the sort of more recent part of his career is about taking the piss out of himself, like, you know, there's Priceline commercials and stuff like that. I feel like he'd get the gag, you know.
Yes. And what's really cool is to basically see that the video that you've done has actually been played in cons. There was another con that I attended where people actually dance to it.
Wow.
And so it's sort of like it's taken a life of its own and being played. I mean, are you aware of that? Like
a little bit, yeah. We actually played at a party two nights ago, and we closed the show with that song, and people kind of went bit berserk. It was like, what? How do these people know what this is? But it was that was awesome. You know, when that. That's such a lovely feeling when strangers know your stuff, you know? It's kind of incredible.
Have you gotten contacted by anyone as a result of the video's popularity?
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of, some really quite interesting people have gotten in touch with me about bits and bobs. You know, everyone from, like, comic book artists to other musicians and... in fact, there's a film director got in touch with me because that's another thing that my day job is writing. I score commercials and movies and stuff.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's really great. I know for me, I definitely have an interest in soundtrack music.
Cool.
And particularly electronic music. So it's great to hear like you're coming from that background. Like, so what would you say were your musical influences?
Growing up, I think the first record I ever bought was a Morricone score. I think I was 7 years old, and I bought the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, which is still one of my favorite soundtracks.
Wow.
But as far as like film composers, I'd say like Bernie Herrmann, who did Taxi Driver and Psycho and all the Hitchcock movies, and Vangelis' score to Blade Runner is like an all-time favorite.
Yeah.
And Wendy Carlos, who did all the Kubrick movies.
Right.
It's as far as composers, those are my faves. And then, you know, I grew up also listening to a lot of jazz and more recently lots of dance music, and I'd say like Daft Punk and the Presets and that kind of stuff.
That's great.
So it's kind of, oh. I mean, what I would really... It's not happened just yet, but like most of the film work that I've done has been kind of more orchestral, I guess, and some of it quite guitar-y, but what I would love to do is more of, you know, fusing everything together a bit more, do more of a sort of techie score. I'm about to do a sci-fi movie, actually, that's going to be a little more synthy. I have a huge collection of analog synthesizers and lots of toys that I love to use. So it'd be great to use this for film, you know.
That's awesome. So how do you find an entry into that type of work? Sounds like you definitely had, you know, the inspiration of being a fan from, you know, Flash Gordon and everything, and you know, admiring Queen's music there, and now to actually be able to do it for a sci-fi film yourself. Like, how did that happen?
It's really just you know, just from, I've been doing this for a while, I guess. When I first moved to New York, it's about 7 or 8 years ago, I didn't really have a huge amount of experience. I mean, I'd been to university and studied music and had worked a little bit for different bits and bobs in London and had, like, different, you know, varying degrees of success, and basically decided to move here. And in fact, one of the first videos I cut together was a sort of a fake showreel. I didn't really have enough work to try and get a gig, so I downloaded, you know, stupid little films from the internet. This is kind of back when the internet was at snail pace, so it took a while, and I basically downloaded these little clips and made it sort of a little film and scored it, and then took it to a few agencies and managed to get a gig doing commercials. And I guess that's kind of how I envisaged it would be. Like, I would score commercials, and then maybe that would lead to scoring movies, but it hasn't really worked out that way. It's kind of, the two worlds are very separate, to some extent anyway. You kind of think that you'll score a commercial for one director, and maybe that person will go and do a movie, but the films that I've done have, to be honest, been kind of through friends and sort of word of mouth, you know. It's kind of how it works.
Okay. So again, I want to remind our audience, anyone who's listening, if you do have a question for Fall on Your Sword that I haven't asked myself, or that you're really curious to hear his answer to, you can call us at 646-595-4533. Again, that's 646-595-4533. And I believe you can also find that number on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/fitterradio. Well, in preparing for this interview, you know, I went to your YouTube site and looked at some of the other work that you did. And, you know, I'm going to play some more of your music so other people can hear it and we can talk about, you know, the whole creative process and everything. And I want the audience to know that any of the tracks that we're playing here, including Shatner on the Mount, can be downloaded for free off Fall on Your Sword's site. All you have to do is just go there, and you can sign up, and then you'll get links to be able to download any of the songs that we're going to be playing. One of the songs I wanted to play was Back to the Ship. And I found that really fun to listen to. And but though I seem to remember that there was a video for that on YouTube.
It got taken down. I think because of the scene with the three-breasted Martian from Total Recall.
Oh, okay.
I think that was I read it, a few people posted on the Shatner thing suggesting that was probably the reason it got taken off. So I could, like, re-edit it without that in there, but I actually I posted it on the Fall on Your Sword page. It's still available there.
Okay, that's a real wild video.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna play a 2 second, a 2 minute clip of it, so people can get a sense of it, and then we could talk about how you came up with that. I'm particularly interested with you know, how you got the voice or came up with the voice.
Sure.
So right now what we're going to do is we're going to play Back to the Ship. This is another mashup from Fall on Your Sword. Enjoy.
Thank you. clock. Got a 2.5 something type. Taken to my LSD and dropped on the planet surface. I've been trapped here taking plant poisons, LSD, I can't breathe. I'm underwater, I feel like my penis is on the ground. Captain's log, got a 2.5 something. Psych check, can't talk, I've taken too much LSD. I'm transmitting from the Earth's core. I'm stuck on this planet without my crew, without my ship. I've taken some sort of a psychedelic plant here. Couldn't be avoided. But I'm now lying on my back. I'm trying to get a circumcision. My penis needs to be wrapped in pure alcohol. I need to go back to the ship. I can't breathe to go back to the ship. I can't breathe to go back to the ship. I can't breathe. To go back to the ship, I can't breathe. To go back to the ship, I can't breathe. Something fucking scum, take it too much LSD, I got to get off this planet. My crew, my ship, two lackadaisical, two stones, they even...
That's our little studio audience who...
they're very excited. Good.
Yes, thank you. Now that I don't remember too much about that. Well, actually, because it's been a while, but I think that video was a little bit more intricate than Shatner on the Mount.
Yeah, it is. It's much more. It was more kind of wading through Star Trek episodes to get the perfect sync up. You know, it's basically him talking and. I got really lucky. There's a couple of pretty amazing clips. There's an episode where I think he's like in some kind of ancient Greece planet, and he gets sort of possessed, I think, and he's like on all fours and being
right.
And Bok is riding him at one point. It's really nuts, but it was kind of, you know, striking gold. So there's a lot of that in there, and I think towards the end of the video it gets more. There's more. Movies, you know, there's more of a sort of compilation of alien moments, famous aliens. But yeah, that actually, the whole thing began with a Kasper Hauser podcast. Do you know Kasper Hauser? They're like a comedy troupe.
Okay.
My girlfriend had heard on Jordan Jesse Go this sketch of him. It's basically the sketch of, you know, Kirk is on a planet having taken too much LSD, and it's about
right.
A 2-minute long thing, and I just heard it and knew immediately that I needed to write something for it. So this one, like, definitely the film came way after the fact. Like, we were already performing this one live without visuals, because when the band first started we weren't using projections or anything. It was just playing it all live. So yeah, that's kind of how it began. And when we do it live, it's also very, it's super sort of loose and jammy. It's really fun to do. Like, I'm triggering all those samples live, and the drummer's like going bananas, and the vocal is being triggered by the guitarist through his amp. It's kind of ridiculous, but it works really well. It always seems to get people going.
Now that voice, even though it's very Kirk-like. That's not actually Kirk?
No, it's not. So it's this, I don't know their real names, but the troupe is called Kasper Hauser. I think they're based out of Chicago, I think. And I sent them the track when I'd finished it, and they loved it, and then Jordan Jesse Go put it on their podcast. And then it must have been about a month or two later, I did the video for it and sent it to them. And actually, the dream would be to meet those guys in person and for them to perform it live with us. That would be really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I also seem to remember there's a there's a clip of a reptile in that. There's a scene in there with them as well.
Yeah, there's the, I think it's the, isn't there like a, it's supposed to be the worst, it was voted the worst fight scene of all time. It's Kirk and a reptile in a sort of rubber suit and like really, you know, miming, punching each other, and the punches are landing about a foot away from his face. It's kind of hilarious. So yeah, that was, I think that's kind of the, that was the main source, that one and the Greek, ancient Greece planet.
Yeah, and somewhere along the line, he's able to find this kind of powder that he cooks up into some kind of like MacGyver-type bomb.
That's exactly. Yeah, you know the one. He's like, yeah, it's like a yellow powder. And isn't that how he kills the alien? It's just him and the alien on this planet.
Yes, exactly. So when you're making videos, do you have a particular favorite editing software that you use?
Yeah, I always use Final Cut.
Okay.
It's I use Logic to write music, and Final Cut and Logic are very similar. So it was for me, it was just a really easy program to learn.
And did that evolve into like you trying out something and then evolving to Final Cut, or did you always use Final Cut?
No, I think I've always used it. I got it like, what, it was years ago. I was back in England, so it was a super early version. It must have been like Final Cut 1 or 2. And yeah, that's it just seemed like the natural thing to use. It seems to be what everyone's using now. It seems like even in like pro scenarios, like people no longer use big Avid boards. They're all using Final Cut to cut movies and commercials and everything, really. Sort of a testament to how good that program is.
Okay. And what did you think about the new movie, the new Star Trek movie that came out?
I really loved it. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was a nice surprise. You know, I was kind of expecting to really hate it, but actually I thought they really nailed it. It was really good. And I watched it in an IMAX theater, which was just jaw-droppingly ridiculous. It was really good.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I loved it as well, you know. And as far as I could tell, at least from reading the newspapers, and I like to look at reviews sometimes before a movie comes out. And I think of the bad reviews there were that were out there, the bad reviews basically said that the main weakness was that it was too good or too entertaining. So you can't do too bad with that.
Yeah,
plus,
that's right.
With the timeline with Spock. But
yeah, but it's Star Trek, you know. You're allowed to get away with a bit of time travel, that famous sort of dodgy plot device. But, you know, it seems to work for me. Because I heard a few people complaining about that as well.
Yeah.
But it was good, really good. Can't wait for the next one. I'm sure there will be one soon.
And something that was interesting to me earlier on, you talked about that you were able to make some songs and have them on iTunes to sell, or were those like mashups as well?
No, those are much more like original tracks. There's no like samples in them, so they're totally legal. But they're, you know, I feel like the band definitely has a kind of sound to it, and these are the sort of early stages of that. And I feel like the more it develops, the more I got into sampling stuff, and funnily enough, I think Back to the Ship might have been the first one that was really like the vocal is a sample rather than me singing or the guitarist singing, which is what the other ones are.
Yeah, and this may be a crazy idea, something that just like came to me just from thinking about what you just said. Like, I and you may know more about this. Like, when I think of music, I know there's music that have used samples from other songs,
mm-hmm.
and maybe even some songs that actually sample dialogue from TV and movies and stuff. Is that really like a gray area about what you can actually sample and use, and is it just strictly a matter of paying royalty? Or
it's really to do with clearance. Like, you got to track down whoever owns the copyright, and it's definitely doable, and it's something that has certainly crossed my mind for all of this, but it was never really done in the spirit of trying to make a buck. So I kind of felt it was on, you know, people seem to be seeing this without me needing to sell it.
Right.
And I feel like I would sooner have this stuff just kind of out there, and then, you know, down the road I'll be recording a record, and I'd like to think that people who have, you know, got into Shatner of the Mount would at least be kind of curious to see what it is that we would do next that's not necessarily all based on samples.
Exactly.
So it's more, I suppose at a really kind of capitalist, simple level, it would be considered like just a promotional thing, you know, rather than...
Have you noticed a before and after, like, you know, almost like a BCAD in terms of when you came out with Shatner on the Mount?
In terms of, like, the popularity and stuff, or...?
Or just, like, the response to your live gigs, or the...
Yeah, we certainly have. Like, people have been, you know, turning up to them more, I guess, it's the simplest way to put it. And people are, you know, keener to get their hands on the other stuff now. So I really think that we're kind of overdue having a recorded album of what it is that we perform live. So it's also, you know, it's really great because it's kind of making us kick a certain, you know, get things into gear a little bit more as far as that's concerned. But I've definitely noticed a huge shift.
Yeah, I would imagine it also probably adds a lot of pressure because people are expecting new stuff from you, and you're not just it's not just you and your band and a core audience, but now a lot of people wanting to know what's next.
Right. And I have a bunch of ideas of the next stuff that I want to get done, but it's almost like now there's definitely a certain amount of expectation, I think, of it better be good.
Yes, yes. So for those who are in New York and who are going to see the show or who would like to see the show, can you give us a sense of what it's going to be like and what you're going to be playing and how that works and everything? Like, will there be a projection screen?
Yeah, there will be. But what we generally do is we try to play at venues that have their own screens and projections and stuff, but we always bring our own anyway, just in case for some reason that doesn't work out. But we basically, there's three of us on stage, and we'll be, the projections are behind us, and everything's being triggered from the stage. And we play pretty much everything that's on YouTube. We do Powerless Man and Tangerine, which is always, that's a kind of interesting one to do live. That's the sort of Michael Caine, Christian Bale one.
Yeah.
And then what else do we do? Back to the Ship is in there, and Shatner of the Mount, plus a bunch of other stuff that's more, I guess, more sort of traditional songy. I mean, it's all definitely in the same world as that stuff, but more, you know, it's me singing, basically. So yeah, it's kind of, that's sort of what we do. And tonight, like I said, this guy, Phil Mossman, is going to be joining us on stage. We have, like, sporadically, we have a few guests joining us at different gigs. The last one we did, we had a singer called Tyler Spencer, who's more widely known as Dick Valentine of the band Electric Six. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but he comes up and does a tune with us. And Phil from LCD Sound System. And yeah, it's a whole lot of, it's a lot more, it's a show, you know, so it's a lot more exciting. It's raging guitars and all the stuff that's great about the YouTube experience, but a whole lot more, basically.
Yeah, one of the things I liked, and for viewers out there, please know that the address for the site is, of the YouTube site, is youtube.com/fallonyoursword69. And it's not actually Fall on Your Sword without the 69. I think that domain name was already taken.
It was, yeah. 69 seemed like a number I'd remember.
Yeah. So one of the things that I liked about your site is there's actually a video of your live performances, and it's not just one of your live performances, but a medley of different songs that you do live. And I got to see, like what you had mentioned before, the Flash Gordon song that you did, and I believe Powerless Man as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's. I think that was all from a show that we did in New York at this arts club. And like I said, we generally try to play at places that have big screens, you know, and that was certainly one of those times. Yeah, that gives a pretty good idea of what we do.
Okay, I'm going to repeat the phone number in case there's going to be any last minute calls. We have about 15 minutes to go to the show. The number, if you have come up with a question since I've last issued, the number is 646-595-4533. Again, that's 646-595-4533. And since we just mentioned The Powerless Man, I also have that track to play. And this will also give you, the audience, another sample of the work that Fall on Your Sword has done. And this is also incorporating source material from our favorite Addiction Television. So here it is. It's called Powerless Man.
The year is 1987.
Only one man, physician, scientist, federal agent,
astronaut,
man, capable of incredible speeds up to 300 miles an hour.
In a freak mishap,
an accidental overdose of gamma radiation alters his
motorcycle designed to fight urban crime.
If you have a problem,
500 years later,
maybe you can hire a machine
to control the
man.
No one can help. If you have a
helpless, powerless man,
we can rebuild him. We have technology.
If you have a helpless, powerless man,
we can make him better, 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 better.
That track you just heard was so. I saw that video and I do remember that was like a heavily edited video. And one thing that I get is that you are seriously deranged and addicted to television just from the number of clips and you know, clips that, like, for me, like you know, like I said, like moments of past life regression from my childhood, remembering. You know, like the $6 Million Man, and, you know.
Yeah, you might notice that there's nothing past, I think, 1988. It's all pretty 80s, 70s, and 80s.
So I know you've watched a lot of TV, and there's another video that I saw that also included clips from Moonlighting, which, like, I think is, because I remember watching that, and so I'm thinking, like, you must have watched quite a bit of TV. and have been quite a fan of TV.
I guess I was, yeah. I mean, weren't we all as kids? I've got to say, I'm not really, not so much anymore. I don't actually have cable in my place, so everything is, it's more of a nostalgic thing. And actually, that the moonlighting, that was from a, that's the live video for, we cover Roxy Music's Love is the Drug. Do you know that song?
No, I don't. I mean, I've heard it as your tune, but yeah.
Right on. And the video for that is basically like, I wanted to have lots of sort of famous 80s couples that argue with each other, arguing with each other. So there's, you know, the moonlighting, and then there's Kathleen Turner and Michael Douglas from
Romancing
the Stone, and Bill Murray and Sigourney Weaver and Ghostbusters. And it just in the context of that song, it seemed to be like a good idea.
Now, how do you find those clips? Like, you know, for at least anything that's not going to get you arrested or anything. But like, where do you find source material for stuff like that? Like, because I'm thinking, gee, if I wanted to, I guess a lot of stuff is on DVD nowadays.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I will rent stuff. I mean, it's, I don't know how legal it is to really cut stuff up that you're. And then perform it live, but you know, I'll worry, sort of cross that bridge when it becomes a problem. But I rent stuff or buy a DVD and rip it and stick it into Final Cut, and kind of that's pretty much how it starts. I think it's probably how everybody does it.
But let's say like with Powerless Man, like $6 Million Man stuff, is that also?
That was actually, I found that streaming on the Netflix website.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little dicey, I think, but I use this program that basically allows you to take video of anything that's on your monitor. I think it's a program that's kind of designed for tutorials and stuff, you know, like people that want to make tutorials.
Yeah.
It's not ideal because it turns the file size into something enormous, which is kind of another, it's sort of part of the reason why those clips are so small, but I quite like kind of restrictions, you know, when you're doing that kind of work. So that's a reason why it might seem a little overloaded. Like just a 10-second clip would be like 300 meg or something ridiculous. So,
yeah. Do you make videos yourself just for television shows that like, you know, let's say not related to a song?
How do you mean? What, in my work? If
I guess it's clear to me that you edit videos based on projects that you're working on regarding songs that you're working on. Mm-hmm. Do you sometimes just edit video for the sake of editing, or is it mostly for a project that you're working on? Because I figure, you know, I guess I'm trying to gauge how much of the editing aspect is there for you.
Right. I guess it's sort of, sometimes I just do it for the sake of it, and then maybe that will turn into its own thing. Like that tangerine thing.
Yeah.
The Batman one. That was just for fun. And then I then decided to start performing it, and then once we performed it a couple of times and people seemed to get the joke, you know, even from a stage, then I put it up on YouTube. I made that for my brother-in-law, funnily enough. We were watching that movie, I think, last Christmas in the theater, and when that scene came on, it was kind of like, we're in the theater. I'm like, did anyone realize how weird that was? He's talking about finding a ruby the size of a tangerine. You know, it's like, it just seemed a bit out of the blue, so we turned it into this sort of, you know, in-joke for the next few days, and then I sent him that. So, yeah, sometimes I just do it for the sake of it. It doesn't necessarily have to be for the band.
That was a really freaky video. I was thinking
it's pretty strange.
Like Kubrick, like, you know, in the recollection of, and then the songs, and it was like, yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I really like performing that one. When we do it live, it's kind of, it almost makes the band seem more like an art project, you know, like we do it much longer. It goes on for about four times the length, and people are sort of slightly hypnotized by it, and just, you know, it goes on and on and on, but there's like, you know, in weird little musical things happening as well, like the drummer actually gets up and plays a synth at that point.
Yeah, I actually get scared of watching it again just for the fact that I feel like I probably could get hypnotized again and like something weird would happen.
Yeah. Excellent. It's working.
Yes. So it's been a pleasure talking with you, and I really thank you for taking the time to speak with us.
Of course. And, thanks so much for having me.
And I definitely look forward to all of your future projects. No heavy pressure there.
Right on.
I guess sort of as a final question, for someone who's looking to do what you do and finds it as a creative form of self-expression, are there any like tips or recommendations you give to them?
I think just start doing it. It's so easy to get involved in this stuff now. Like the means to cut something together, if you have a good idea, it's so easy to make it happen. It's just a question of, you know, getting a laptop and getting the tools to do it. But it's really just about the idea. If you have the ideas, then everything else is easy.
Great. Well, I'm going to let our audience know again that Fall on Your Sword will be performing tonight at the Public Assembly in Brooklyn. I'll provide a link to that on, I guess, in the show notes for this show. This show is also available to be tweeted or Facebooked, and there's a one-click iTunes link that will automatically subscribe you to this show and any future show. I think I'm going to – it looks like we're just getting on 3 minutes to the end of the show, and I'll just play Shatner on the Mount as we close out. Is there any final things you wanted to say, Fall on Your Sword?
I'm all good. Thank you so much again for having me, and
All right.
I'll be keep listening.
Well, thank you, audience, for listening to another edition of Vitter Radio. That was Fall on Your Sword, and now we're going to end the show with Shatner on the Mount. Enjoy, and until next time, talk to you later.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? To hug the mountain. To envelop that mountain. To hug the mountain. To envelop that mountain. To hug the mountain. That mountain. That mountain. He wants to make love to the mountain. Tough young guys, sinewy bodies in their fingers and teeny toes. Challenge the rock. Challenging death. Why do I climb the mountain? Because I'm in love. There is a passionate affair going on between Kirk and the mountain. Kirk is on the mountain. Now, in order to create that illusion, sucking some of the most sensational men who not only climb, are voracious, fleeting, and elusive, and peripheral, and that's putting me on the mountain. Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Hold it, please. To hug the mountain. Envelop that mountain. To hug the mountain. To envelop that mountain. To hug the mountain. That mountain. That mountain. He wants to make love to the mountain. And the climb is going where no man has gone before. Where no man has gone before. Challenge the rock. Challenging death. Why do I climb the mountain? Because I'm in love.
Thank you for listening to Vitter Radio. We are now about 10 till the end of the show. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for our next show. Subscribe.